What's good? What's good? We're back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast. Your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. Today, we're going to skip the sponsors. We're going to get straight to a guest interview. We're going to bring in internationally acclaimed soulful jazz vocalist Sharon Marie Klein, also known as the Divine Mrs. Klein. All right, let's bring her in right now.
Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. I'm not Mrs. yet.
Mrs. Oh, my bad. The Divine Miss Klein. Miss Klein.
I'm still single, so, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Let me correct that. The Divine Miss Klein. Okay. Yes. Normally when I do these interviews, I like to start with the name before the name, but I'm guessing you didn't have one before. You just went with Sharon Marie Klein.
That is my birth name. My
full okay, birth yeah, name. Yeah, yeah, I figured that. So you went with that from day one?
Yes. I mean, the divine came later.
Okay.
But I did, I actually started to Sharon Klein and we added my middle name. It just seemed to round things out, soften things up, give it a lighter feel.
I was thinking that too. Sharon Klein sounds more like a country singer.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
So jazz, is that your main genre that you do?
That is. Jazz is my thing. I do call it soulful jazz because...
Soulful jazz?
Yeah, because, okay. I mean, I'm creating a genre here. Because there is something, I do put my soul in it to it, a lot of emotion into it. And I don't do riffs, but there is like I bend notes in certain ways that maybe a jazz artist wouldn't. And I do take on more material that's more contemporary jazz, instead of just straight ahead jazz.
Okay, let's go back a little ways. I want to start with the process of how you first discovered your voice. Hmm. Were you singing like other artists at the time when you discovered your voice?
I grew up listening to like Nancy Wilson on the record player. My mom and dad loved classic jazz, Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, Dakota Staton, who was a torch singer of, you know, back in their day. Okay. But I actually grew up singing Barbara Streisand. Okay. I sang everything. I thought I was Barbara Streisand. I had to be told when I was in college, like, you know, you're not Barbara Streisand. Can you sing some other songs, please?
Yeah.
not that I didn't do them well, but, you know, Barbara's Barbara. And I needed to start to express and discover my own. But I loved Barbara basically because she phrases so emotionally. And that is something that's just truly me. So I grew up listening to her. I grew up listening to the people I just mentioned, Nancy Wilson, Ella Fitzgerald. But I learned how to sing from Barbara Streisand.
Okay.
So I sing, you know, and that's a high mark to try to reach is her. But that is why I sing the way I do I phrase so emotionally.
Okay, so you've discovered your voice. What is it like as far as trying to bring in the songwriting process? Is it easy at first? Did you have to get people to come in and help you? Things of that nature?
I still don't find it easy. I feel like there's, not because I don't have a lot to say, because I do, but to get it out of me, that I feel like there's a stop there, or I don't know how to get it out. So I actually started writing when I took a songwriting course. Okay. And I wrote in that course and I co-wrote with other people. Co-writing helps because one, I'm a lyricist. I'm not, I don't write the music. I write melodies, but I don't actually write the chord progressions and the harmonic, you know, intervals and things like that. I don't do all that. So I write the words. So I started taking the lyric songwriting class and that helped me bring out what was either in my mind or in my heart to perform. But it is a constant process. Like I'm about to take another one in a little bit. Actually tomorrow I'm starting another course. So it's something you kind of have to keep up on because the ideas, at least for me, can get caught inside. I mean, I have a lot of emotion, a lot to say, but it gets caught and then you get it onto the paper. And then in a way that it will match or can be met by melody, it's a process. It's a definite process.
Now, I was listening to your song right before the podcast. It sounds very, I guess, grown or mature. Has your sound always been like that?
Which song? Tell me.
The Love Will Follow? Love Will Follow.
Oh, no, that one, the newest song, Love Will Follow.
Yeah.
So you're wanting to know if my sound was always as mature as it?
Yeah, or grown, yeah.
My sound grows and deepens as I get older. I do think when I was younger, it was lighter. I always had a huge range, but there is like a, it's almost like a depth of a well of scotch or, you know, okay, liquor. It just like it, as you, it, as it ages, more character comes into the voice. So okay. Yeah, it has changed, but I also know how to work it more as well. Like in Love Will Follow, I do a lot of whisper sexy songs, and then I do these really big, rich, bold tones. And I've learned that how to navigate my voice to express something.
Yeah, the Love Will Follow feels to me like something like a almost like a cabaret song or something.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it is a I don't know if you knew this. It's a Kenny Loggins song.
Love okay. Will
Follow. And it's one of his more R&B tunes. And then I do something called deranging, meaning I'll take a popular song and I'll make it fresh. I'll make it my own. I'll rearrange it. So we did Tear It Apart. It doesn't sound like his Love Will Follow, but it does come from him. So for you, when you say it's a cabaret song, what do you mean? Do you mean that it's present?
I don't know. Just that way, the feel of it just had like, I could see somebody like in the cabaret singing it, just the way, it, I don't know, just the way it felt.
Okay.
It was very... I don't know. I guess because I see these movies with the cabaret singers and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it just had that feel to it to me, you know, and you had the guitar in it. You had the piano. I love piano songs like crazy. So there was definitely a lot going on. It was a very grown and mature song to me, you know, and whatnot.
And you're right. There is a lot in there. It's a very well
It is. You got the ranges. Like at one part, you just like the range is high and then some that are just like kind of lower and whatnot. And There's a lot going on there. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to show off in there. And that is true. I do show off a bit. My range and my oomph is in there. Yeah.
What do you think makes you stand out from like other jazz singers or just singers in general?
Well, I do think it's what I've been talking about, the way I emotionally phrase. It's also my tone. And someone, there's a booker in town in LA who books me a lot, who says he doesn't know any other singer who does, he calls it sustained, but I can hold notes very long and very poorly. And he goes, he doesn't know any other singer who does that. And I haven't heard any other singer do that, but I will hold on to a tone and just let it, you know, either delve deep into you or just delve off into the sunset, because it is something that is, I don't know, it's pure. And there's an emotive quality in that as well. But yeah, I think it's my emotion with which I sing and my focus of communicating when I sing, you know, communicating what the song means into an audience. Yeah.
Now, what's the local scene like around there for you? I would think as a jazz artist, it's a lot easier than other genres, I would think.
Well, I think jazz, it's not easy for jazz, period.
It's not? Okay.
Yeah. Jazz, I mean, I'm not just talking about in LA, all over the country. I mean, maybe there's a little bit more in New York, a little in Chicago, some in Louisiana. Jazz is not the thing. And also going out to hear live music is not the thing because it's a film industry town. So there are jazz clubs here. There is a jazz community here. But it isn't, it's like film, you know, pop, celebrity acts are here and jazz is maybe here, you know, in the, so there's definitely a community. It's a rich community and there is work, but it isn't like I think it was one day back in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
You think the younger generation just doesn't appreciate jazz as much?
Well, I think they're reawakening to it. I think when I first started here, they didn't appreciate it. Now I see at my shows a lot of young people there. So I do think that they are appreciating it more. I just feel like there's a lot to do in this city that is flashy, that draws people from jazz, which is a little jazz. More intimate.
Yeah.
A little quiet. But there is great things. There's a great community here for sure.
And I think jazz is more of a musician's music than these more flashy pop and things that's going on of those nature.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Let's talk a little bit more about your sound. You said, how would you totally define your sound? What was the term you used for the sound you were trying to create? You said soulful jazz, but it was something else you said when you redo the songs. You call it deranging,
I think. I derange them, yes.
Oh, derange.
So it's like making a new arrangement, but I derange them because sometimes they're very different than the original artist. Yeah.
So you did say derange them. You derange them.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And derange.
Is that a big thing in your sound? Is derranging? You might appreciate it before. Sounds you might appreciate it before.
No, when I say derange, I really mean the arrangement. How it's presented rhythmically, I change it.
Yeah.
I don't change my tone, really. Okay. My tone is developed based on how I express. So if a song like Love You Follow is a very sexy kind of sensual invitation, as far as how I kind of see it, then my tone in the beginning will be like a soft, sexy seduction. But it's still my tone. It isn't like I'm morphing for the song. It's still coming from me. It's just I might use more whispers. And then when it gets more celebratory, then there's a bigger voice that comes out. But that's all designed in how I arrange the music. I'm a good arranger of knowing where the song needs to begin, where it needs to go in the middle, and how it needs to end. So that's what the arrangement is. And then we change things harmonically, we change things rhythmically throughout the song. And that's why I call it a derangement.
I was listening to one of your songs. I kind of felt like, have you ever sang in the church at all when you were younger?
I did, yes. Yeah.
I could tell that. Yeah. Yeah. I could get a feel of like that you used to sing. Yeah. Is that part of how you found your voice as well, singing in the church?
Yeah, I mean, really, before I got to church, I was singing. I actually found it in school doing musicals. And because there'd be always big school productions for each grade. And in sixth grade is when I actually started singing in musicals. And then from musicals, I started having the courage to sing in church. And then I became a church soloist and I sang in the choir and whatnot. And then I just kept developing from there, taking musical courses, joining theater groups where we did musicals, and then going to church and singing in the choir every week, and then taking voice lessons. And I also sung opera. I was in an opera company as a young person too. And they're not at all the same, opera and classical, opera and gospel. But there is a way in which you bring your voice out that is similar, like operatic. You give it your all operatically, and you give it your all as a gospel singer as well. So there was like a double training that I kind of got and all that.
Opera is not always just words too, right? It's sounds a lot. And
it sounds an emotion.
Have you ever done like Broadway?
I have not been on Broadway yet.
It seems like that same realm too, like Broadway, opera.
Yeah.
I think that's why I feel like the cabaret, I'm getting the cabaret thing, you know.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's really interesting because you just put together something that I haven't put together. I studied classically, operatically. I studied in church and I got my degree in music and theater. And I did a lot of musical theater in college. And right after college, I did a lot of regional theater. So my whole background is that bringing all that emotion through your voice and pushing it out there, which is, I get why you say cabaret.
Now, jazz, how oversaturated is that? Is that undersaturated or just right or oversaturated? Because music nowadays, I mean, they're releasing 100,000 songs a day. And most of them are hip hop, but even 20,000 songs a day or other genres, I feel like is a lot of music.
Yeah, it is a lot of music. I don't think jazz is more saturated than pop or R&B. So, you know, really, and definitely hip hop and rap.
Rap and hip hop is making it bad for all the other genres. Really.
Yeah. And that is what's kind of expected now. Just like on Spotify, I'm doing really well on Spotify, but Love Will Follow is not really released as a jazz song. It's more contemporary music. It's more urban feeling. Yeah. I would say it's undersaturated. People think jazz, and they just put it in some general category, and they look down on it, but they kind of put it aside. Whereas jazz is actually quite vibrant, and there is Motown in it, there is rock and roll in it, there is hip hop in it. You know, there's a lot in jazz, and there's gospel in jazz. You know, I know a lot of jazz singers who sing legit, like classically, when they're singing jazz. So jazz to me is a state of mind and a state of with how you approach a song. It isn't really how the song comes out. You know, like I think I still approach things like a jazz singer because there is I think of my place in the song, like where I fit harmonically and rhythmically within the song. So I'm always looking at the other and listening to the other musicians and influenced by that. And that is a jazz thing, you know, like if the horn player is playing a certain lick, then you might be singing, you know, a lick that complements that or brings his out more or he's feeding what you perform. That's a jazz thing. It's not a classical thing. It's not a definitely not a pop thing. So I feel like I approach things a certain way that is more jazz oriented, but the product I hope is relatable to everyone.
Do you think the industry is getting too far away from just making great and good music and they're all just caught up in the analytics?
That's all I can say about that. Yeah.
When you think of jazz, you never really think about having to worry about at least good music in jazz. You don't hear nobody like, that's trash jazz too much, you know, but when you listen to all these other genres, there's just too much copycatting going on. Mm-hmm. That's the good thing about jazz. It's not one just sound, you know, like hip hop and even pop, it's like one sound almost. R&B, I can't even tell what's R&B nowadays no more because it's borderline pop. Mm-hmm. And then it's borderline R&B. Mm-hmm. You know, then they'd be like, it's just pop or it's just R&B.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're just getting so far away from really, really making good music. And
our point of view on the music, like you said, people are too concerned about where is it going to fit on the chart? You know, who's going to, you know, instead of what is coming from here or from your gut, you know, or from your head even.
Yeah.
You know? You know, what is really authentically you? So it has become more outsourced from that point of view, where it's going to land, other than what you're saying and what you're producing.
And it almost seems like it don't even make sense for a jazz musician to sign with a major label, because jazz is just a genre, I think, where you always have to not let the labels just kind of step in and tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. Or it's never going to be authentic. It's never going to be genuine, you know, nothing of that nature. Let's see. What other questions did I have? If there was one thing you could change in the music industry today, what would that be?
What you said, accessibility.
Accessibility.
For independent artists, how to get there without having to be something else. How to get to that doorway without having to fit in to whatever they decide is the model. And their acceptance of something that is unique, that doesn't have to be, like I just said, it doesn't have to be molded into something else. I think that would be it. Accessibility for an individual authentic artist.
And how would you change that? Would that be something like the playlist? I mean, because we know Spotify playlists, like you said, they only really focus on the rap. really it's Rap Caviar is the main playlist. Yeah. And then everything else is beneath that. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever the biggest pop playlist is, the biggest pop, biggest rock is the biggest rock, but they're not household name playlists. And they definitely don't give no extra attention to jazz or the better mm-hmm. genres. You know, mm-hmm. even like Afro beats is coming up. And mm-hmm. reggae is another genre I would put in there with like jazz, where it's like, it's almost universally accepted right. when you listen to it.
Yeah.
I just think the younger generation just doesn't, it just always feels like music for like older crowds and older generations, mm-hmm. but it's always universally accepted no matter what it seems
yeah.
like.
Yeah, that is true. How would I change it? It does come from, I can't change it personally, but because I do believe it comes from the executives. So maybe if they're willing to listen to groups of artists to say, hey, you need to put out there, this is a viable art form. This is a great art form. Because the reason why people are loving all these things is because they have access to it and they hear it more. You said if they were hearing, and I think Barry Benson is doing an amazing job for me because he's put me in audiences that would think that they don't want to hear a jazz singer. And so we need people like him saying, look, this is urban adjacent, you know, and then let us in the doorway. We need like 100,000 more of him, you know, out there putting, because I am doing pretty well and people are noticing who I am. That's why my follow-up recording needs to be really strong as well. And then eventually I can lead them back to some maybe straight ahead jazz. But it is introducing yourself to new audiences in a way that they can hear you. That's what I can do.
You know. And is there even a such thing as like commercial jazz music?
I think it could be commercial. It was commercial back in the day.
Yeah.
Used to be. I mean, you hear jazz songs on commercials, on television shows, in movies all the time. Yeah. You know, it really is the background of most romantic movies because it is the music of romance.
It is.
I guess that's what makes it commercial. But as far as you're talking about is the billions of dollars that a recording can make and hitting the top of the Billboard charts, I don't know how to do that yet. And I think that's going to be my discovery is how do I not lose the integrity of the music?
That's the key. Yeah.
But also make it so that you know anyone who goes to the Viper Room wants to listen to it. how do I keep crossing those lines?
So have you done any albums?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do have several albums.
Mostly
I've been releasing singles as of late, but
okay.
My last big album was called This Is Where I Want to Be, and that's
this what I want to be.
Yeah, some of my originals are on there and the title songs are an original. It is a jazz album. It's full of standards that I have deranged. And also like I did, what's the song? Laughter in the Rain, which is a Neil Sedaka song. That's one of my first derangements, which sounds nothing like the Neil Sedaka song, but it's fresh, it's inviting. So that's how I keep trying to make us more relevant. As jazz artists is crossing those lines. And then I have several single releases, Close to You. I did it's that Burt Bacharach song that was released by the Carpenters. I did a derangement of that. And then I have several more coming out. I have several Christmas songs and albums. Just look me up, Sharon Marie Klein, on every digital platform and YouTube. You'll find my music and my website, SharonMarieKlein.com.
For your title, you had This Is Where I Want to Be. Did you have a specific point of where you wanted to be when you came up with the title?
Yeah, it actually came out. I wrote the song in my songwriting class, and it came from a picture exercise and from me sitting on the beach. Because for me, to lay on the beach and look out at the ocean with the sun coming at you, and you can hear the waves and you can smell the ocean and you hear children playing in the background, but you're just there in that open space. That's where I want to be, because that's where I create. I dream from that space.
Okay.
It reminds me of Brazil, or what I think Brazil is like.
Okay.
That's what I wrote the song about, you know, that's where I want to be, you know, with my guy, you know.
I see you got the sun on right now. So you're big on suns?
I love the sun. I'm really big on hearts. I don't know if you can see my heart on my finger. Hearts are my moniker. I am about the sunshine and sunflowers. So I put sunshine in people's mailbox if they join my website, meaning that I bring light. And I definitely bring my heart when I'm on stage and in my life.
And you say you're going to be releasing new music soon, right?
Yes, I have a new song coming out called Summer Love, which is another derangement. Yeah, I did a derangement of a Neil Diamond song that was in that movie. Shoot, what was it called? Coming to America? No, that wasn't what it was called. I don't remember what that movie was called, but it was a Neil Diamond movie and an album. But the song's called Summer Love. It's a derangement. So I did a derangement of it. It sounds nothing like his, but it's sexy. And for me, it's about, you know, that hot romance you have the end of summer. And so we're going to release it hopefully in October. If not, it'll be beginning of November, but it's a look back on summer. So I'll be releasing it soon. And then I also am planning on coming out with a Christmas song. So we'll see. We'll see what that turns out to be. And I am working on a new album. Like, all these little releases I'm doing individually will be a part of my next album, along with three or four other gems that we've created.
And what about any new shows? You got any new shows coming up?
Right now, I'm kind of in the studio. I've taken a little bit of a break. I was really busy through the summer, and I'll be busy through the holiday season, but I'll be mostly doing private and corporate events. That's kind of the season for that. So I don't expect to be too much in, you know, out on the jazz scene, but check my website, because I do, things pop up quickly for me. So if you just go to my website, SharonMarieKline.com, you know, and start looking towards 2024, but they'll probably be two or three public events happening over the holidays.
And I definitely make sure I add your social media links in the description. I add the website in the description. I tag you in all the platforms that we upload you on well.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going through your website. Music videos. Are you working on any music videos anytime soon?
Yeah, I'm going to do one for Love Will Follow.
Follow? Okay.
Yeah, I want to do one for that. And we're going to do like a little video for Summer Love as well, but it's not going to be a fully produced video like Love Will Follow will be. I'm looking for the right director for this video. Well, so it's because I have ideas in my head. I want their ideas, and they need to meet cinematically in a way that's, I think, fitting for the song. So I'm just looking for that right person.
Can I ask you, do you have a TikTok?
Yes, I do.
So I would recommend getting on your TikTok.
Uh-huh.
And as many songs as you got on your TikTok, take like, you know, three lines of your TikTok and lip sync as many parts of your song as you can.
Okay.
And, you know, save a lot of money on, you know, music video. That's the thing nowadays. These people are saving money on music videos. They go and do two or three lines. You don't really got to give them the whole song. And if they want to hear the whole song, they got to go, you know, to your Spotify or Apple or whatnot. That's another problem with Spotify or YouTube is that they're giving away the music for free anyways.
Yeah.
So they put this devalue the music. Mm-hmm. And jazz is definitely a music that you can't afford to do it. You can't afford to devalue it. You can't devalue it. Mm-hmm. It's too much time that goes into jazz. It's not like these rappers, they get in there, they steal a beat off YouTube,
mm-hmm.
go into their own little studio, rap over it, mix it down, master it, throw it up on the distribution like that, and it's like, what did you really put into it? You know?
Yeah. That's such a good point. And you're right, because like for Spotify, I can't remember how many hundreds of thousands that you of likes and listens you have, streams you have to go through to even make $10, you know. So that's why for me, corporate events are how I make my money.
Yeah.
Because you get paid well doing a corporate event or a private event, better than you do getting going to venues like you know, jazz clubs and things like that. I love them all, but I have to focus to make money and not have and just have to compromise my calendar and say, okay, from October to December, there's not going to be much on my calendar because I can't afford that, really.
Do you think we need to go more to exclusivity?
Meaning,
like Ryan Leslie does, where you can only access it, you can only download his music on his website. Everything just goes through his website. Ticket sales, everything.
Yeah, but it's hard for artists to manage all that. So you do have to get a team to manage it. I guess so, but then when you're in exclusivity, your audience is smaller. Whereas if you're on a platform, you know, especially if you got someone like Barry Benson behind you who's pushing you towards visibility, then your platform's bigger. Like my audiences are bigger now because more people have heard my name, at least. Even if they didn't click to listen to the song, they've heard them like, oh, let me go check her out. Whereas if it's just exclusively on your site, then as much a visibility as your site can get is who will know who you are. You know,
and have you also been setting up your discovery mode ads?
No, what's that? I don't know what a discovery mode is.
It's through some distributors. Who's your distributor?
I go through DistroKid. So
I think DistroKid just picked it up. Discovery mode is basically now where Spotify will kind of advertise your song or certain songs. You can set it up like the beginning of every month. They'll advertise it on like Spotify Radio and other platforms, push it out, but they're going to ask for 30% of the royalties that go to that push. Okay. Only the ones for that push. Like you know, any royalties that come with, you know, outside of what they're doing, they don't take from it. But like if say they push it to 4,000 people and 1,000 people listen to it, 1,000 new people listen to it, they'll take 30% of that.
What's it called?
Discovery mode. Discovery mode.
Okay.
Yeah, not all distributors have picked it up yet, but all the distributors are starting to pick up, and it's basically where they'll push it out, and they'll give you a little extra push, and that's the thing, you know, any extra little push where you ain't got to pay for it is good, seeing Spotify acts like FM radio anyways. They want to, you know,
yeah,
and I think they need to get out of that mindset.
Yes, we all do. And, you know, but it's still hard to leave them because they have a huge audience and the best of the best are on there. So, you know, I'm not leaving them, but I do think that they need to do better.
Well, the standards of playlists, as long as they run the playlist game, everybody's going to have to at least attempt to go through them.
Yeah, right.
You know, anything you wanted to, I don't know how much time you got. We're about 30 minutes into it.
Okay.
But anything you wanted to like shout out or anything?
To go to my website, I'm really wanting to build connection to my site, because everything that I'm going to be doing is going through there. And it's a pretty site. So, and I put a lot of money into it. So please go to my website, join my mailing list. So
okay. I was just about to ask, do you have a mailing list?
Yeah. As soon as you get on there, a pretty picture will come up and say, join my mailing list. And so I do keep up with people on there. I do offer discounts to shows on there. You'll be the first to hear about and see new releases, you know, new videos, things like that. So please join my website, help me build that. And let me know if there's any, like those around the country and around the world, if you want me to come to your town, let me know and we can begin a campaign towards your location. But everything starts with my site as far as hearing from me what's happening. And then my site will tell you where to go to grab my music. The goal is for everything to feed each other. And let's see, what else?
Do you do most of the stuff yourself? I mean, you
by managing my site.
Yeah.
I actually have a team who manages my site.
Okay.
I hired that. I do a lot of my responses, and I'm very, very active on, you know, what happens. So I'm right there with it, but they do the actual technical posting of certain things and making sure the algorithms work in and there's, you know, no malware or ill-meaning people. You know, okay. Coming in. Yeah. Yeah. But they design.
And I guess if somebody wants to book you through a show, they got to go through your website too, right?
Yes. Right now, go through my website. Okay. I'm on there. You can reach my manager from info or booking at SharonMarieKline.com. But that is the best way to book me. Yes.
And do you work in any other genres besides jazz?
Primarily jazz. That's okay. And I'm more of, you know, I'm not an artist that goes in and imitates other artists.
Okay.
I'm an artist, and when you hire Sharon, you're hiring the Sharon Marie Klein experience, which is coming from the heart, doing music soulfully, fun, engaging music. But it isn't like, oh, do the Sade show, although I have done those. I have done the Sade show, actually, and it was actually a lot of fun. But I'm not going to go and be someone else. And, yeah. You know, I'm primarily jazz. I sing a couple pop tunes, a couple R&B tunes thrown in there, but I do them my way. I don't do them like
other artists. Yeah, I only ask because on your website is, oh, my bad. On your website, said you were more than a jazz singer, so that's why I was asking if you were dabbling in other genres or whatnot as well.
But what they mean is, one, I'm always going to be growing and pushing and bringing other things. Yeah. I'm not just singing jazz the way old-time jazz singers sing.
Old-time jazz, okay.
Yeah. But I'm also, what they're talking about is, I also have a little podcast where, and I'm kind of a life philosopher, and I'm all about the message of love and community and communication and leading from that way and bringing that light into the world. So when I'm performing, you do get that sense and that experience of me, that it isn't just she's there singing songs. I'm creating and weaving like a love vibe, and it's also inspiring others to kind of come from and look at themselves from that point of view of where they are in their lives, where they're connected to their hearts, and the joy of actually being there. Because when you're in one of my concerts, your heart is enlivened, you know? It's inspired in that moment.
What's the name of your podcast?
It's called Navigate With Your Heart.
Navigate With Your Heart.
Yeah, and it's on any place where you can find your podcasts. They're teeny. I call them short form because they're like... Uh-huh. 6 to 8 minute little channels, kind of positive thoughts about the importance of getting back to our authentic self and not being influenced or led by what's outside of us, but what is authentically coming from within.
You seem like a laws of nature person.
Well, what does that mean to you, laws of nature?
Well, I believe in the laws of nature. Like, I don't believe in man's religions. I believe, like, if it doesn't align with what animals do, you know, it's not really.
Yeah.
It's not natural. It's not natural, you know.
Yeah.
And the way you talk about the sun and inspiration and things of that nature, you know, it just kind of aligns with laws of nature, you know, which I think mankind and womankind have kind of strayed away from.
Yeah, I agree.
We got to follow man's laws in this society and conform to everybody else's ideas, or they try to make us at least, you know.
Yeah. Well, then, to that point, I am more of a law of nature. That is what Navigate With Your Heart is. But for many people, they've lost touch with what even is their nature.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to get people to stop and look and get acquainted with what is this, so that you can connect to what is Paul, what is, you know, whoever else in the world, and how I connect and if I want to connect, so that I can move positively and collectively if we decide to collaborate, you know, towards something that's greater than us. So yeah, I'm laws of nature, not in the sense of, you know, the ferocity of nature, from, you know, like just to survive, but we do bring in, but to be in touch with that survival instinct is important. You know,
you seem like you're very free thinking.
Yes, I'm very
free thinking. Which it aligns with the laws of nature.
Yeah, yeah.
Because animals are, you know, people think, they don't understand, like, animals are way more free than us. You know, we got bills, responsibilities, you know, trying to build fan base and the music. It's a lot of work, a lot of things.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of things.
A lot of things. Yeah. I definitely want to I want to check out the podcast too. If you send me the link, I'll add that in the description as well.
Okay. And great. Whatnot. I will.
Yeah. And I definitely I don't know if you're doing shorts on that, but I would recommend doing shorts as much as possible on that. Short form content is definitely taking over as much as possible.
Well, they are real short. They're short.
Yeah. As much as you could do short form content, you know, do it. I mean,
yeah.
And that's especially the TikTok. I would definitely recommend getting into TikTok and lip syncing. And that definitely would probably help people appreciate this jazz a little bit more.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I'll give you my TikTok address as well, or my name or whatever we call it, so you can see it too.
Yeah. I'll email you when we get off here to get all your links and whatnot. Okay. As well.
Good. Yeah, good.
You want to shout out all your social media links or any social media you want to?
Yeah, my Instagram is at Sharon Marie Klein, you know, okay. My name. Facebook is Sharon Marie Klein. It's really easy. the TikTok is Sharon Marie Klein Experience. Sharon Marie Klein Experience. My website is SharonMarieKlein.com. My link tree is Sharon Marie Klein. That has everything on there as well. Did I leave anything off? Facebook, Instagram, YouTube is, I believe, is Sharon Marie Klein Experience or the Divine Miss Klein, but we'll get it set for you.
The Divine Miss Klein. That's right. People should say the Divine Miss Klein, not Mrs. I got it wrong at the beginning.
Well, I just want to let those men out there who, I don't want to break any hearts and they feel like I'm not available. I could be available for the perfect man, so I'm just letting you know.
And as you heard it, love may follow.
Exactly.
Anybody want to shout out before we go?
I've been mentioning him a lot, but I want to thank Barry Benson for everything he's done for me on the digital music platforms, really helping push Love Will Follow. I want to thank him for introducing me to you. Thank you so much. My social media and website push is, the company's called The Darl. They've helped to raise my visibility. So The Darl, DARL.com.
DARL.com, okay.
Yeah. And Cabrini Schneider is my, like, now, you know, everyone needs like their street team, you know, to get things out there and to be behind you, to help push you and help strategize. She's my ride or die for that. And I really thank her because, you know, there's a lot of decisions and choices to make and a lot of places to put your energy. And she kind of helps me stay on track. So I'm really grateful for her. So I'm going to say hey to her in this and to my family and to the God within me and around me that motivates me to keep going. So thank you.
And if you want to come back on, like whenever you drop your music video, like normally sometimes I play music videos on the channel as well when I do interviews.
Yeah.
So we can, you know, play your interview. Play your official video. And then we can, you know, expand on another interview as well. Short.
Great.
Interview or whatnot. Yeah. Or if you got a new single, you know, it's whatever.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. I look forward to it. Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. And I'm glad you come on. And like I said, if you want to come back on, just let me know. As soon as I get off here, I'll email you and make sure I get all your links so we can add it to your description
as well.
And tag you in on all the social medias because it'll be on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio. And then we'll go to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Rumble, BitChute, LinkedIn, and I'll stream it live on Twitter as well.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Yeah. Thank
did,
you.
You said you had a Twitter, right? Did you say you had a Twitter?
I do. That is Divine Ms. MZ Klein. C-L-I-N-E.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to definitely make sure I get the email for that too, so I can tag you in that as it goes live as well.
That sounds great.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's been really fun.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that was it. Another episode of Paul Pickett Podcast. We had the Divine Ms. Klein, Sharon Marie Klein. And once again, don't forget, I do my podcast daily. YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, BitChute. Put a video version, audio version, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slack, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and all that good stuff. And I'm out.